Mention Doc Ellis to most baseball fans of a certain age, and they'll all have the same response. Oh, yeah, he's the guy who threw a no-hitter back in 1970 after he dropped LSD. In a new documentary about Ellis, who died in 2008, filmmaker Jeffrey Radice certainly doesn't shy away from Doc's singular achievement in presenting the story of a man fascinating for all sorts of reasons. Jeffrey Radice joins me now to talk about No No, a documentary. Welcome to Only a Game.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me, Bill.
And also joining me is Tom Rich, who was Doc Ellis's agent. Welcome to the program.
Glad to be here.
Jeffrey, let's go right to the game that gave you your title. The 1970 gem was an odd no-hitter because it featured eight walks and a hit batsman. I wonder how many people at the game knew what they were watching.
I don't think anyone at the game knew what they were watching. The way that that story broke, interestingly, David Lander, who's the actor who played Squiggy on Laverne and Shirley, among other things, he was speaking to Doc in 1984, talking about how wild Doc was, and Doc said to him, well, you should have seen it the way that I saw it. And that was kind of how this story became popularized.
Doc Ellis says in the film that he was rarely sober during the season. In fact, to hear him tell it, he was rarely sober during his baseball career. Let's listen to him describe his spring training routine.
I know, in spring training, I'd walk all the way out to the backstop of a field and sit out there, drink, get high, and plant weed. And they wouldn't bother me because they said, well, he's here. He's not out in the streets nowhere. There he is right there. He's sitting over there getting drunk.
Tom, is Doc's characterization of his own behavior consistent with the man you knew back in the early 70s?
Doc didn't do drugs in front of straight people. So there's a lot of, you know, hyperbole that goes with the territory. But when he pitched, as was very, very common in those days, players took a lot of speed. Doc spent a lot of time sober and was a very, very intelligent guy. But he was a wild dude when he was into his rather wide social life.
Well, I'm glad you've provided some perspective on that, because some people did consider Doc Ellis a clown, but he was also seen by many as an important figure in the fight for civil rights within and outside of baseball. One of the more powerful scenes in the documentary features him reading a letter that Doc had received from Jackie Robinson.
There will be times when you will ask yourself, is it worth it all? I can only say, Doc, it is. And even though you will want to yield in the long run, your own feeling about yourself will be most important. Try not to be left alone. Try to get more players to understand your views, and you will find great support. You have made a real contribution. I again appreciate what you do. Continued success, Jackie Robinson.
Doc's reading of that letter is so emotional. At what point did Robinson write to Doc, and what were the circumstances under which Doc read it out loud?
To my understanding, that letter was written in 1971. Vita Blue was a lock for the American League starter because he was just off to this incredible start. And Doc pushed the issue a little bit, using some reverse psychology and intentionally, and said to somebody in the media that they would not start a brother against a brother in the All-Star game. The letter was read in 2008. Doc was doing an interview with Donnell Alexander for Minnesota Public Radio, And so this would have been in the last year of Doc's life. From everything that I've heard, he was a little bit more emotional, and there was just something about probably his own thoughts about his own mortality, and reading this letter from a hero of his. Time referred to it as a rare human moment captured on film, and it really resonates with audiences, that's for certain.
The black players and the Hispanic players were treated so badly. The 70s were a terrible era. And by the way, Doc Ellis was 14-3 at the break. Doc deserved to start that game. And yes, he did use reverse psychology, and he is that bright.
The final triumph of Doc Ellis had nothing to do with his pitching and certainly nothing to do with his drug and alcohol use. He eventually got clean and sober. He went on to help other men and women reach that goal. Let's listen to just a little bit of a presentation that he made to some addicts.
I was out to lunch, off the hook. I should not have been allowed to play baseball for things that I did, but they allowed it.
Jeffrey, should somebody within the Pirates organization or elsewhere have been able to help Doc Ellis to get help himself before he finally got it after he was out of baseball?
I'm not going to speak for the Pirates organization. Doc's friends, these guys that he grew up with and went to high school and college, said that he would call them in the middle of the night. He would call just to talk. And Al Rambo, one of his closest friends throughout his life, said, you know, maybe they should have paid attention to that as him crying out for help, you know. So if the people that were closest to Doc didn't really understand, then I don't think that you can ask the organization that he was working for to. I think it's important to emphasize what Doc was doing for the last three decades of his life, because to me, that was what brought me to the film and why I felt like this story was worth telling. Doc took the lessons that he learned and applied them in a forceful manner. He, the same type of personality he had as a player, he was now using in his drug counseling. So he was out there in the trenches, you know, doing yeoman's work, one individual at a time, trying to help these guys.
Well said. And I would say this, that in my relationship with Doc for years, I begged Doc at certain points, but Doc is the kind of guy that you could stand on your head and spit wooden nickels. If he wasn't ready, he wasn't doing it.
Jeffrey, I agree with what you've said about the most powerful part of the film, the impact that Doc had on other people who were addicts. And what he has to say to people that he helped is very powerful, but he also talks about his own days under the influence of various substances as if he was kind of winking at us or at the audience. Do you worry at all that people who see the film will miss the fact that he nearly destroyed himself before he finally got sober and was able to help other people?
I don't think anyone that watches the film will miss that. It's told in graphic detail by two of his wives, his first wife, Paula, and his second wife, Austin, you know, describe exactly when he went off the rails and when his demons became too much for him to handle. And, you know, I think that what makes Doc's message, or what made his message so impactful and his ability to communicate with people, was his honesty. He talked about his demons, and I think it would be dishonest and it would be out of characteristic for Doc to not talk about drug use as something, you know, that people enjoy. People wouldn't do it and become addicted to drugs if it wasn't enjoyable. And I felt that Doc, his honesty about that aspect was important in his ability to communicate with people.
Some of these patients in the prison system that he dealt with, who were really hardcore guys before he worked with him, testified at the funeral. And I can assure you there were no dry eyes in the whole church. There isn't going to be anybody who sees the film that questions his sincerity when he went 180 degrees in the other direction. And by the way, this is not a jock film. This is a very serious and dramatic story that lives and resonates, because after all, this is one of the biggest problems our society ever has or ever will have.
Tom Rich was Doc Ellis's agent. Tom, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And Jeffrey Radice is the director of No No, a Documentary, which is in theaters now and also available on video on demand. Jeffrey, thank you very much for speaking with me.
All right, you're welcome.